Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a special treat for you guys here in the 8 o'clock hour. Keep your phone calls coming. I see we got a caller on the line. He wants to talk about property taxes and much more, and that's definitely a topic we want to keep talking about here. Next hour, 9 o'clock hour, every Thursday, we do our weekly legislative update. Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell kicks off the 9 o'clock hour, and then Democrat House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin out of Missouri joins us right after President Regeer. And then I think in the second half of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll have open phones so you can call in and react to what the lawmakers had to say or talk about something else for that matter. But we got a very special guest here, just kind of a last-minute deal that we just made happen for you. You guys know our good friend David Noble on Twitch, on X, at LectureFan. He also does an incredible job guest hosting the show for us. Well, I was like, David, why don't you join us for the 8 o'clock hour of the show today? And here he is. Thanks for freeing up some of your important time for us, David.
Yeah, thank you. I'm usually a no, so I was happy to be able to say yes to the 8 o'clock today.
Yeah, it was great because, you know, now we got our friends from the Flathead and Great Falls jumping in on the conversation here. This is really cool. I just got a message on our Montana Talks app from Sandy in Missoula. And so I'm assuming this is Missoula City Council member Sandy Vasica, one of the lone common sense voices on the Missoula City Council. You know, we've been talking a lot about DOGE and trimming back all this fraud, waste, abuse in the federal government. And you and I and others have been talking about, hey, let's get a DOGE for Montana. Let's get a DOGE for these cities. Let's get a DOGE for state government as well. Sandy in Missoula says, every year I try to cut millions from the Missoula City budget and get shut down. Last year, Councilor Campbell and I proposed over $2 million in cuts and failed at every measure. We need more people from the public to come and comment during budget season in the summer. So the public, you can be very helpful in this, too. You don't just rely on them to go fight every battle for you.
Right. And if people aren't showing up to these city council meetings and demanding budget cuts, and then the city council's there and there's literally nobody in the room except the one organization that's going to get the contract for the budget, right? That's usually who's there to say, oh yeah, this is a huge important thing is whatever org is going to get a contract for the spending. But that's why it's like one thing that really, you know, is one of my pet peeves, of course, is infighting amongst Republicans. And one of the things that causes a ton of infighting amongst Republicans is blaming the politicians for certain things that are happening, when I think Sandy makes a great point there. A lot of times these things happen because nobody bothers to show up and oppose any of this spending or anything. And so who's really at fault there? Is the public at fault for never bothering to show up to any of these meetings? And then, oh my gosh, the city is doing all this stupid stuff and spending all of our money. Oh, where were you when the city council had its meeting and voted on the budget? And where were you when they called for opponents and nobody's here to oppose any of the spending?
Or on the flip side, okay, we all complain about the national debt, $37 trillion and a $2 trillion deficit. But then when push comes to shove and cuts are being made, people always complain.
Right.
But then they'll complain about the debt. That's why I think it's so great to see the American people supporting what DOGE is doing in such a big way right now. The American people are doing what needs to be
done. If you bought a new electric vehicle last year, you may qualify for a tax credit depending on the brand. I'm Hillary Barsky with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast, bringing you closer to the story than you ever thought possible. Subscribe at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. These are the stories that keep you up at night.
You might be entitled to a tax break depending on which electric vehicle you purchased, or CPA and tax attorney Alan J. Strauss says
the dealer may just reduce the price by the amount of the credit. That is something to make sure you clarify with the car dealer.
You would have to know if the dealer is building the credit into the price of the car.
Each manufacturer is entitled to pass through only a limited number of credits for a limited number of automobiles.
So get the information from the dealer in terms of what kind of credit you're entitled to. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
It's going to be a very special Freedom Friday this Friday on Montana Talks. Our good friend George Blackard, he moved to Texas, but he's back in town. So he's going to join us for Freedom Friday right here on the show. First, though, we've got Thursday's Montana Talks, time for our weekly legislative update with Senate President Matt Regeer from the Republican side and House Minority Whip Jonathan Carlin from the Democrat side. Thursday's Montana Talks, plus we'll have time to take your phone calls as well. Statewide, 9 to 10 right here.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Montana.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, great to have David Noble here in the house with us on the show. You guys get a chance to hear him. He's always does a great job filling in for me if I'm out, or, you know, back in the day when I'd be gone from military training. Man, I'll tell you what, David always does a great job on the show. David, I got a great message on our Montana Talks app last night. This was from a listener in Bozeman. So I was telling this story yesterday about how when I did an event in Libby last fall, I think it was amazing to me. We had like 30, 40, 50 people waiting in line. You know, we were giving out gift cards. We were highlighting the Joe Biden, John Tester inflation and how much everything costs and the fact that, you know, Montanans were losing thousands and thousands of dollars every single year because of the Joe Biden, John Tester inflation. And so to highlight that, we were, you know, giving away gift cards or you know, like we were at the cafe and the coffee shop earlier in the morning. When we showed up at the grocery store in Libby, there were literally people, like 30 to 50 people standing in line waiting to get one of those. And I made the point yesterday that I was like, you know, this is Libby, Montana, beautiful country. It was a beautiful, you know, late summer, early fall day. There was plenty of other things you could be doing, but yet there were people that rearranged their schedules so they could be there just to get a $35 gift card. It was one of these Americans for Prosperity Montana events we did. And I was making the point that that's how bad things were getting. That's how much the price of everything got. But it also is a reminder that this is Libby, Montana. Nobody should feel like they have to wait in line to get a gift card at the grocery store, because if we get those mines up and running, people will they'll have nice new pickups. They'll have new campers. On a Saturday, you won't see them waiting in line at the grocery store because they're going to be out having a good time enjoying their weekend. And it just ties in with this whole idea that, like, the radical left has shut down opportunities for everyday people all across this state, all across this country. But that's why we're also so excited that, like, for example, the Black Butte Copper Mine will hopefully be soon up and running in White Sulphur Springs.
So what was the message that you were going to mention?
Well, so basically, the listener in Bozeman said, thank you for sharing the reality of the 30-plus people in line looking for the grocery gift card. He says, my father, son, and myself would frequently travel to the reservoir outside of White Sulphur Springs to go fishing around Christmas. And so the listener said, you know, we were in line. And we noticed that we were in line going to get groceries. And we noticed that we were the only people actually paying for the groceries with cash. Everybody else had, you know, WIC vouchers or food stamps or something like that. And it's like, we should not have that kind of poverty in Montana.
I agree.
We literally live on top of gold mines or copper mines.
Right.
Or,
Literal gold mines.
Literal gold mines.
It reminds me of the story.
Why do we have this kind of poverty here in Montana? It should not be happening.
It shouldn't. And it reminds me of the story that Donald Trump told on the campaign trail about an elderly woman who had a bag of apples and went to check out at the grocery store, and they scanned through the apples, and you know, she didn't have enough money to pay for all of the apples, so she took a couple of the apples and took them back, you know. And that's heartbreaking. That's truly sad and heartbreaking, and you're right. That should not be happening in the United States of America, especially a United States of America that's spending as much money to help people overseas as we are.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah, it's like here we have people, you know, that can't work at the mine because it isn't up and running yet, because it was delayed by radical environmental groups and liberal judges in White Sulphur Springs. And then you've got people that, you know, the poverty got so bad in Libby, Montana, a few years ago, that they had to extend the free school lunches to the summer. And it's like, we should not. And yet,
it just goes to show that capitalism and free markets do more to help poor people and low-income people, or anybody that's struggling, than any Democrat policy, left-wing policy, socialism, communism, you name it, has ever done. Free market capitalism is the best government policy to help the lowest income earners in the country.
Yeah, that's right. And look at the way our own federal government, the bureaucracy, has stood in the way of that, too. And then the other point that the listener in Bozeman had here was, you know, with that being said, the Black Butte copper mine will be the best industry has ever seen and create jobs that will give the families in White Sulphur a boost. And what a compliment to the agriculture in the region, too, because, you know, agriculture is not what it used to be, to where, you know, you needed the whole family to stay and work the farm and to stay and work the ranch. You know, maybe now the son or the daughter takes over the ranch, and then the other two or three kids have to move elsewhere to find work. Well, now they can work and stay home and still get to enjoy the family ranch as well on the weekends.
And that was Governor Gianforte's main campaign promise. Is like, we have got to have jobs and economic development in the state so we stop sending our people out of state. And frankly, I have lots of people in my family and lots of my friends that had to leave Montana to go get a decent job, to provide for their family, to provide for themselves, you know, and that's horrible. And look at me. It was hard for me to come back to Montana. You know, when I was working at law firms in Florida and Kansas, because I went to a University of Miami law school to see the world and get a good education, and wanted to come back to Montana. And I tried to come back to Montana right away. And there just simply weren't the jobs here in Montana for me. And so right out of law school, I got a job at a law firm in Kansas. We were working in Florida cases and Kansas cases. And then years and years and years went by. And finally, there was a job opportunity for me to come back. So I've experienced that, too, where it's like, yeah, it's hard to find jobs here.
All the, you know, the Democrats and the teachers unions always pretend to support the teachers. Well, why do so many Montana kids that become teachers take jobs in Wyoming or the Dakotas? Because they have utilized their natural resources more than we have historically.
Oh, so, yeah. Look at the quality.
They have more money for education.
Look at the quality of the schools and the quality of the gyms in North Dakota.
Again, you use your natural resources, you have more money for
this
those kinds of things.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A housing reality that's been in place in the high-cost cities for many years has started to arrive in Montana, and that is this. It takes two full incomes to be able to afford a house. One-income households, even for many above-average-paying jobs, simply can't do it, especially with mortgage rates above 7%. Now let's throw in another data point, child care costs, which can easily top $12,000 per year for a family with two children. Simply put, the cost of housing and feasibility of starting a family are intermeshed. That makes having a family even more of a dilemma. When both spouses need to work to afford a house, that can necessitate expensive child care as well. Those facts might help explain why the fertility rate, defined as the number of children born to women age 15 to 50, has been falling since 2007 in the U.S. A rate of 2.1 is considered sufficient to keep population from falling over time. Today's rate of just over 1.6 falls quite short of that. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
If you work for cash tips, you must report them to the IRS. I'm Hillary Barsky with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
From around the world to Washington to your own backyard, if a story impacts you or your wallet, we're on it. Start your day with the Fox News Rundown. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Tips are treated as wages and are subject to both income and Social Security tax. CPA and tax attorney Alan J. Strauss.
The person receiving the tips is required to let the boss know the amount of the tips that he or she received and pay the Social Security tax on it.
Restaurant servers automatically have taxes withheld.
If the amount is less than what is required, you're still required to report all of the tips and pay the difference as to what might be owed on the rest of the tips.
The employer also has many reporting obligations. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Hey, we got phone lines open for you. If you got something you want to talk about, and then we'll have the legislative update coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. So let's get into some of the fun national stuff, since we'll be talking legislative news and more in the 9 o'clock hour. Tap, tap, tapperoo. Jake Tapper, or Fake Jake, is that the word Sean Hannity uses for him? David, I don't know if you got to see Hannity's program last night, but Jake Tapper has a book coming out. CNN's Jake Tapper has a book coming out highlighting Joe Biden's cognitive decline. Oh, now you have the book coming out.
But first, a brand new low for the media mob. What a shocker. Fake Jake, our old friend Tapper over at CNN Fake News, is now publishing a new book about Joe Biden's steep cognitive decline and the cover-up that ensued. I do hope that Fake Jake remembered to write a chapter on himself. Take a look.
You have no amazing. It's so amazing to me
and try and figure out an answer.
A cognitive decline.
Well, you're trying to tell me that what I was suggesting was
I think that you were mocking his stutter. I think you were mocking his stutter.
Anyway, there you go. Hannity had a whole segment on that last night, but Jake Tapper now has a book where he's writing about Joe Biden's cognitive decline. And the cover-up of it. When he was the guy who took part in the whole cover-up. I mean, it's...
The audacity of these media hacks. It's incredible to think... Imagine living in a world where you think you can publish a book like that and get away with it. What planet is he? Oh, I know what planet he's on. He's on the planet that we've all been on up until January 20th, 2025, where everything the media Democrat hacks did, they got away with, and nobody ever called him out. Right?
Yeah. You know, if we wanted to, I've got a full 2-minute montage here. Stephen Miller shared this. Here is Jake Tapper incensed over Joe Biden's stutter and outraged over claims of Biden's cognitive decline. Actually, it was Tom Elliott, Grabian Media. They've got a whole montage of Jake Tapper defending Biden and attacking people who brought up Joe Biden's obvious cognitive decline.
And then not only that, Aaron, But actually pulling out a disability discrimination claim against it. Oh, you're attacking his disability. That's like taking it to a whole nother level, too. That's taking it a step too far. Not only just defending Biden's mental acuity, but actually accusing anybody of questioning as, oh, you're just attacking him for his disability. Wow.
Yeah. Let's see. Perry in Columbus, stand by. He wants to talk about the bureaucrats and Doge. But first up, let's go to Mike in Billings. Talking about property taxes, a big topic we'll likely hear more about in the next hour as well. Mike, what's on your mind?
So my property tax comment on the last round of rebates, being that my wife and I have our property in a family trust with a Montana address, Montana everything, why are people getting disqualified from the rebate because their properties are in a trust? Do you have an answer for that?
Oh, interesting. So that was on the last go-rounds of property tax rebates. Yeah, I guess I'm not sure on that. I wasn't tracking that. I just have a normal house, so I'm not familiar with how the if it's in a trust, how that actually works. So
it depends on my understanding of it, at least, and I don't – this is just sort of me spitballing off the top of my head. I've never actually looked at this or addressed it. My sort of guess is that it has to do with whether it's a revocable or irrevocable trust, and I don't do trust work, so I don't really, could barely even tell you the difference between the two. But because I do know for a fact that numerous homeowners in Montana who own their homes in a trust did receive those rebates. And then there was other issues like, oh, some people may own their primary residence in an LLC. I'm not sure why you would do that, frankly, but some people do that, and I don't think like an LLC that owns a home obviously isn't qualified because you can't. I don't even think you can declare a homestead exemption if your house isn't owned by if you've got your house in an LLC or something like
that.
So
that's a good question because I got a story on our Montana Talks website right now about how look I and David and I have been talking about this that I fully believe that the governor and the legislature will deliver property tax relief. By the way, the $200 thing yesterday, that's good news, but that's not the big news. The big news is eventually going to be some sort of a homestead property tax exemption. What the governor's plan calls for is a 15% decrease in residential property taxes through the homestead exemption. But, David, what you just pointed out, folks, if you own your house and it's in a trust or an LLC, I would encourage you talk to your accountant or get an accountant and say, hey, if there's going to be a homestead property tax exemption, will I be eligible for that? Or do I need to somehow, you know, change things and figure things out?
Well,
you know,
frankly, I would talk to your – I mean, if you've got a trust set up or an LLC set up, presumably you've got a lawyer that deals with that stuff too. I would rather somebody talk to a lawyer about that kind of a question as opposed to their accountant.
Because, oh, okay, yeah.
And especially with like a homestead declaration, like for example, when I closed on my house, the title company just sort of on its own just had a homestead declaration there at closing for me to sign. So I signed the homestead declaration. Title company recorded it. I've heard though that sometimes title companies aren't sort of doing that. I think it was like a courtesy they did it for me. Hey, here's a homestead declaration if you want. I was like, oh yeah, absolutely. So if you don't, if your title, when you purchased your home, if your title company didn't sort of as a courtesy give you a homestead declaration, you can have a lawyer drop a homestead declaration. You sign it, you record it in the public records. I'm assuming most people probably already have that.
Oh, interesting.
But that's another thing you'd probably want to look into.
Yeah. No, that's very good to know because. Yeah, because if Mike and Billings did not get, for example, the property tax rebate checks last year and the year before that many of us got, then because of whatever status of his house, trust, this kind of trust, that kind of trust, whatever, yeah, get with your attorney right now to figure out, okay, if this homestead tax exemption relief goes through, will I qualify or do I need to give me the paperwork I need to sign?
Let's sign
the paperwork.
And you may need to change your trust. No idea. You may need to sign a declaration of homestead. No idea. That's all stuff that would take some time to look into to really figure out the answer.
Great. I'm really glad Mike and Billings called in with that question there. Appreciate that because you never know who might have just gotten helped and saved 15% on their property taxes potentially if it all goes through the legislature. Next up, let's go to Perry in Columbus. Perry, what's going on?
Good morning, Aaron and David. Speaking of bureaucrats standing in the way, I want your listeners to think about the deep state Obama-Biden federal government as a nationwide mob syndicate that has embedded itself in Americans' lives and pocketbooks like some giant swarm of ticks. Whenever the Democrats get their grubby little mitts on the federal tax dollar spigot, Their first priority seems to be undermining traditional Western culture here and everywhere in the world, followed by making sure their anti-American buddies are first in line at the trough full of your hard-earned tax money. Adding insult to injury, the Las Vegas mob-run casino turn, the Skim, comes to mind. It's not a stretch to speculate that leftist bureaucrats and insider cronies have been carving out big chunks of your tax money for themselves as it passes through their hands. So, guys, now that we the people have Elon Elliot Ness Musk and his crew of untouchables hunting government mob corruption and finding it everywhere, when should Pam Bondi's DOJ start indicting and jailing deep state operatives for this criminal fraud and abuse? And should she throw the book at all of them or just the most brazen frauds and theft? And I have my own two-sentence answer, if you'll allow it.
Go for it.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, I would just say every single one of them. What would you say, David? Every single one of them. It's just like the illegal aliens. I don't care if you got busted for jaywalking. You committed the crime of entering this country illegally and staying in this country illegally. So whatever other crimes you committed on top of that, it's like just add it to the stack. Just you being here illegally is enough for you to be sent home. Kind of same thing here. If you were skimming like Perry pointed out. Well, yeah, David, give your thoughts, and then we'll hear Perry's two-sentence answer here in a second.
Well, I've got a lot to say, so I want to hear Perry.
Okay, Perry, yeah, go ahead. What's your is it two-word or two-sentence response?
Two-sentence. I think the radical American left has proven since 2009 that equal justice for all is nothing but a cruel joke when they control the federal law enforcement leviathan. Dust off the RICO statutes, find any form of communication that even hints at what they were doing or why, and now you've got a conspiracy charge and all the asset forfeiture laws that go with it.
It's amazing the amount of grift and corruption that's being uncovered right now. All right, Perry the poet, great to hear from you. David Noble, your thoughts.
So I agree 100% with Perry, 100% with you, Aaron. A couple other additional thoughts is, number one, okay, my big takeaway from everything that Doge has been putting out and finding, my big takeaway is that all of these radical left ideas and ideologies and activists, this is not organic. This is not a grassroots. There's no grassroots movement of far left radical ideology. That's being paid for by by our tax. So when you're at the Montana legislature and the Montana legislature is hearing a bill and you've got 100 people bust in from Missoula to testify against it and there's nobody there in favor of it, even though it's perfectly common sense good bill, that's not some grassroots movement of far left radical. That's paid for. That's AstroTurf. That's kind of the big takeaway for those of me.
You know, all of us have been talking about George Soros and Hans Wiese and Tom Steyer. And yeah, they put up a lot of money. They put up a lot of seed money. In fact, I think it's the DailyWire.com is exposing how all of these phony, like, protesters at these town hall meetings that are showing up to protest Republicans, it's all paid for stunts. There's no grassroots to it at all. Phony.
All of the signature.
It's not just Soros and these guys. Right. It's our taxpayer dollars that are being used to fund this stuff.
Yeah, and look at the signature gatherers last year on all these radical left things. They were paid for. These are bought and paid for. There was no grassroots movement in Montana to push those initiatives and to get those things signed. And you're right. Here's the other thing the Democrats say: you haven't found any fraud, waste, and abuse because when you said you disclosed all of those things that you've mentioned, we agree with that. We like that. We don't think that's waste or fraud. That's what.
Great point. All right, hold that thought. David Noble with us for the rest of the hour, and we're taking your calls. Hey.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I almost forgot. What was another big news story yesterday? See, there's so much stuff to try to stay on top of. We've got everything going on in the legislature right now, all the other news of the day stuff. And then, I mean, nobody can keep up with the Trump administration right now and all of the good things that are being done back there. I almost forgot about this big news. Attorney General Pam Bondi, who was she on with? Let's see. Let me pull up the tweet here. I've got a post on X from the Trump War Room
Where did I put it? Well, I'll tell you who she was on with. But first, here is the audio. The Epstein list. I haven't heard the news update yet, but apparently the Epstein list may come out at some point today.
One of the things a lot of people are wondering, because you said last week that you have the Epstein files on your desk, is when can we see them and what's taking so long to release them?
I do. Jesse, there are well over, this will make you sick, 200 victims, 200. So we have over 250, actually. So we have to make sure that their identity is protected and their personal information. But other than that, I think tomorrow, you know, the personal information of victims. Other than that, I think tomorrow, Jesse, breaking news right now, you're going to see some Epstein information being released by my office.
What kind? Are we going to see who was on the flights? Are we going to see any evidence from what he recorded? Because he had all of his homes wired with recording devices.
Yeah. What you're going to see, hopefully tomorrow, is a lot of flight logs, a lot of names, a lot of information. But it's pretty sick what that man did.
Yeah, very interesting, David Noble. I wonder what Bill Gates is going to be up to today and some of these other guys, huh?
Well, so what I saw was, so the DOJ, I think, has a policy where they don't release information that tends to incriminate somebody unless they're going to charge them with a crime, because it's, I don't know if it's a violation of due process or just sort of seen as unfair to somebody. For the DOJ, the Federal Department of Justice, to release information that tends to suggest that somebody's committed a crime, well, it's like, well, why aren't you charging them with the crime then? So I would rather see Pam Bondi, the DOJ, charge people with crimes and prosecute people for what they did with Epstein, as opposed to just release some list.
Whereas the list could be allegations, it could be unproven, it could be
right.
Who really knows? Yeah. Whereas prosecute people, charge people, and then you can fully examine all the evidence that's out there. That's a great point. Here's what seems like a random story, but since David is here with us, this could almost be like a woke update of the week. When we talk about wokeness, really, I you know, it's what we used to use the term political correctness for, but really, to me, everything that's woke, it's any effort to try to trash America or to divide Americans and push kind of this anti-American agenda, right? Or this radical left-wing, you know, countercultural agenda as well. This, to me, this ties in, because I think the radical left, they always want to criticize America. They want to attack America. They want to undermine America. And they want to get Americans divided against other Americans, because they want to transform this country into something else. David, I know you remember it. Remember when there was a story, I think it was out of Canada. There was all these news stories. The Associated Press, every news outlet had stories. There were stories all over the place, headlines everywhere. Mass graves of Native American children. Unmarked burials, mass graves all across Canada. Well, apparently, so then Canada gave a bunch of money to a group to go search for these mass graves of these indigenous children. And after, this is from the dailywire.com, after 4 years of searching and zero bodies found, Canada cuts funds on the search for unmarked mass graves. Canada is pulling funds from groups still searching for alleged bodies buried at Indigenous residential schools funded by Catholics and other groups because they haven't found the mass graves. And this story got spread so far and wide, and they said, oh, yeah. And look, I'm not suggesting that American history is totally, you know, like there's some bad things in our history. There's some bad things that our government did. Nobody's saying that didn't happen, but they want people to be divided, and they want people to think that there's, anyway, it's just,
well,
like,
think about what kind of message that is intended to convey. When they came out with the fake news story and said that there's all these mass graves of indigenous people in Canada, the implication was that Western civilization, Canada, the United States, Western Europe, we're just as bad as the Nazis. We're just as bad as the Soviet Union, the Bolsheviks, because that's what the Bolsheviks and the communists and the Nazis did. They did mass graves. They did mass graves. So when they alleged that, when they made that accusation, they were essentially alleging that United States, Canada, and Western civilization were worse than the Nazis, were worse than the Bolsheviks. And that is designed to not only just divide us and to bring down America, to bring down all of our values in Western civilization, but specifically to make Native Americans and Indigenous Canadians hate the country and hate their government and everything else like that. And it causes racial division when it's not true. How terrible is that?
And apparently the preliminary report that started all of this wasn't based on any exhumations. Like what did the Daily Wire – and the Daily Wire reported this at the time because they were kind of questioning some of this, that the initial reports that triggered all this, ground-penetrating radar was used, and they found depressions and abnormalities in the soil of an apple orchard near the school. They didn't exhume any remains, but that's what prompted all these claims that, oh, there were mass graves, mass burials of indigenous children.
And the way it works is they take something like that, they run with it. Like you said, it was everywhere. And now you've got the Daily Wire running this story 4 years later, but I haven't seen this story anywhere else besides Daily Wire. I bet. And this is how the left works, right? They run these stories that are fake, and then 4 years later, oh, never mind. But in the minds of the public, that story's out there. That story's true. Most people, I think, if you'd asked them if they'd heard that story 4 years ago, they'd say, oh, yeah, no, I'm aware of the mass graves of indigenous people. Yeah.
I fully believe that one of the biggest grifts, one of the biggest scams going on in journalism today is all of the indigenous reporters. I don't even think most of the indigenous reporters are even indigenous themselves. They're woke, liberal, white people. But they get money, they get paid, oh, they get this grant, they get that grant, they get this money from whatever left-wing foundation to be the indigenous reporter. Are they reporting on this? Are they reporting on the drug cartels targeting natives on our reservations? Maybe a tiny bit here and there. Are they reporting
only after you reported on it? Then they did
15 different freaking times.
And maybe they'll finally mention this story after you've already you cover more Native American issues than these reporters do.
I guess I should be getting indigenous reporting grants.
Well, why didn't you apply for the grant?
Where's my $40,000 check?
You didn't apply.
Yeah, because I've been talking about the Crow Revenue Act and how, you know, the Crow can get a lot of revenue and the coal mine near Roundup can stay up and running. It's a win-win. And then we have coal, you know, to keep the lights on and keep the heat on, you know, when it was 40 below zero, 50 below zero. Yeah. Where's my indigenous reporting grant? I want the paycheck. Maybe they should give their grant money to me instead. I'll give them the mailing
address. Well, you're already taking NHTSA and the Ad Council funding.
I don't get any of that. I just have to listen to that crap like everybody else.
right.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, all these public service announcements on the radio, like, I want to hear the Kristi Noem one about deporting all the illegal aliens and telling them to get the heck out of the country. That's the PSA that should be playing on across the country.
And informing the illegal aliens, hey, if you come forward, if you register, if you get fingerprinted, then we're not going to treat you as severely as we will treat you if you continue to hide in the shadows and continue to stay here illegally and you refuse to identify yourself, you refuse to get fingerprinted. Policy, like, genius. Like, that is such a good policy move. I mean, there's no better policy move to get to the goal that we all want to get and to get there in a way that's efficient, that's humane, et cetera.
Yeah. Self-deport. That's the easiest, simplest way. But they'll help you get out of here if you need help getting out of here. But self-deport is the best way to avoid further consequences. Yeah.
I mean, I would. If I was here illegally, I would absolutely go home. And then I would start the process to do it legally, right? Because that's the other thing that's going to happen here. Because Donald Trump and Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, they're all in favor of more legal immigration, particularly high-skilled workers, merit-based immigration, right? And so if you are here illegally and you've got some skills, go home and apply to come back legally, because otherwise you're not going to have an opportunity.
Or vice versa. If you fled Venezuela because your country turned into an Adam Schiff hole, you know, socialist dictator, go back and fight for your country, just like people fought for this country.
There you go.
And that's partly what we do is...
Instead of abandoning your country, you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, go back there, and instead we destabilize these other countries and then destabilize our own at
that's, the
very
that's
same
the
time.
Big problem is we're destabilizing the United States, and that's bad for everybody.
Great point. All right, just a quick few minutes left. David Doble with us here for just a few more minutes, and then the legislative update coming up from 9 o'clock out.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Under Biden, we found out USAID actually paid for Ukrainian models to attend Fashion Week in Paris. You know, under the Biden administration, USAID paid Ukrainian, Biden family syndicate thoughts, models and designers to go to Paris Fashion Week. You know, and other frivolous, absurd luxuries. Joni Ernst made this revelation earlier today. Ernst revealed USAID did not report the expenditures in public databases, and they tried to block her staff from seeing them, claiming they were classified. And this goes to the corruption aspect of this and the cover-up aspect of this, which I have been saying we are going to find out. It's now inevitable.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Look, this country was founded on freedom. Freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then trying to blockade us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out? Well, it's time to throw your overpriced big wireless contract overboard as well. Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices. With a qualifying plan, you can choose an iPhone 14 or a Samsung Galaxy for $0. And yes, this is for premium service on America's most dependable 5G network. Get your iPhone 14, Samsung Galaxy, $0 qualifying plan by dialing #250. Say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. No hassle, no gimmicks, just honest to goodness wireless price right. #250, keyword save now, claim your new iPhone or Galaxy with a qualifying purchase from Pure Talk, which is America's wireless company. Visit puretalk.com for details.
It's February 27th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today's National Pokemon Day, marking the anniversary of the Japanese release of the game on this day in 1996. Also, on this day in 2020, the Dow Jones Index suffers its biggest points fall in history, closing down 1,190.95 in New York over concerns about COVID-19. 1 year later in 2021, the U.S. gives the green light to the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine, the third such shot to protect against the coronavirus. Also on this day in 2013, Pope Benedict presents his farewell address to Vatican City. A train crashes into a buffer at Cairo's main railway station in 2019, killing 25, injuring dozens in Egypt. Born on this day in England in 1932, legendary star of the silver screen, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, just a quick few minutes left here this hour of the show. Man, David and I had such a fun conversation. I was telling him how a week from tomorrow, I get to be the keynote speaker at the Dawson County Lincoln Reagan Day dinner in Glendive, and it's going to be great. I know Speaker of the House Brandon Lear is going to be back there because that'll be the start of their transmittal break. And so we started, you know, talking about that and more, and I forgot what we were even going to talk about after the break. But, David, what do you want to talk about? We've got just a quick few minutes left here before you got to run.
Well, actually, I was gonna try to get to make sure you got to that story about the mass graves was the one thing that I had on my mind, and we kind of covered that, which is an important topic. And so, I mean, the other thing, here's one thing I wanted to say, okay? Because here's the big thing the Democrats are doing nationally is they're saying they're so upset that Elon Musk is a government worker now, and they're so upset that Elon Musk is doing things. And Stephen Miller giving a basic civics lesson to the media and saying, hey, in the United States, we have one president. The one president is elected by the American people. He's the only official that's elected by the whole of the American people, and then he hires staff and appoints staff to accomplish the objectives that the American people put him there to do. And so Donald Trump has hired Stephen Miller, he's hired Elon Musk, and then those people are then implementing, and they serve at the pleasure of the president, and they're implementing the president's policies. And Elon Musk is a government employee, and so the Democrats are mad that Elon Musk has access to the government data, but they have no problem with Lois Lerner having access to all of our government data, or any of the other bureaucrats within the deep state. It's like, Elon Musk is now a bureaucrat, as funny as that sounds, right? Because he's there to take out the bureaucracy. He is now a bureaucrat. I mean, he is a federal government employee. He has every right to do everything any other government employee does in terms of implementing the president's agenda.
Yeah, and I mentioned this before. So the guy who leaked, well, I didn't mention this part yet, but they keep saying, well, we might, you know, have our personal data compromised by Elon Musk. Well, we did have our personal data compromised by Barack Obama when the Chinese got access to my, you know, security clearance background check and anybody else who had a secret security clearance, and eventually maybe even more than that. But and all of our data got compromised to the Chinese under Obama. And these guys didn't hardly even care about that happening. But yet they're acting like, well, what if it happens under Elon Musk? It did happen under Obama. Not only that, right, but the IRS guy who leaked Donald Trump's tax returns also stole over 400,000 other Americans' tax data in the process as well. So, yeah, spare us the freaking pearl clutching.
Right. And I'm sure Elon Musk doesn't want your Social Security number, whatever Democrat. Elon Musk has bigger concerns. So, come on.
Exactly. I will give Elon Musk my Social Security number.
I would too.
Can I get the Starlink satellite for my camper so I can do the radio show from anywhere? You know, that'd be fun.
I'm trying to get TDS fiber. I don't know when they're going to finish their build out, but I'm on this cable internet. Could really use the TDS fiber. I see the TDS fiber trucks all around. They're building fiber.
Yeah, they're doing different neighborhoods across the state. I'll have to ask our buddy Darren Olson when they're coming to your neck of the woods and my neck of the woods as well. Well, David, great to see you as always. Thanks for joining us and taking a little bit of a break from your normal work day. It's always great. I know our listeners always appreciate it as well. He joined me for another hour that you can find on our Montana Talks podcast. We talked about the news about the Flathead Warming Center that the Missoulian just reported as well. So go to the Montana Talks podcast if you want to hear that back and forth. Hey, one of the pet peeves about the legislative news coverage is that they call it a bathroom bill. It's not a bathroom bill. It's actually much more than that. But speaking of bathrooms, your bathroom really is much more than just a bathroom in your house, right? It's a personal space. It's a private space. Why not make it comfortable? Well, you can do just that right now. You can get up to 30% off on a bathroom remodel with YHIC, your home improvement company. Imagine turning your bathroom into a spa-like retreat. You can do that. Plus, financing you can handle, no money down, no interest, no payments until 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. This is a limited time offer you don't want to miss. Let me repeat, get up to 30% off a bathroom remodel. Call 406-948-2836. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
A housing reality that's been in place in the high-cost cities for many years has started to arrive in Montana, and that is this. It takes two full incomes to be able to afford a house. One-income households, even for many above-average paying jobs, simply can't do it, especially with mortgage rates above 7%. Now let's throw in another data point, child care costs, which can easily top $12,000 per year for a family with two children. Simply put, the cost of housing and feasibility of starting a family are intermeshed. That makes having a family even more of a dilemma. When both spouses need to work to afford a house, that can necessitate expensive child care as well. Those facts might help explain why the fertility rate, defined as the number of children born to women age 15 to 50, has been falling since 2007 in the U.S. A rate of 2.1 is considered sufficient to keep population from falling over time. Today's rate of just over 1.6 falls quite short of that. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.